That's crooked. Five people are dead, right? That's crooked. That's never going to be made straight. And so we have to look at the fact, and everybody has to come to grips, even those who lost loved ones. We all have to come to the fact that can't change what happened. It's a tragedy. There are things that happen in your life that you can't change. There's some bad things that have happened to you along the way, and you cannot change it.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the first half of From Tragedy to Triumph. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of From Tragedy to Triumph.
We're going to continue in the book of Psalms, and today we'll be visiting the 13th. Psalm. If you would like to turn there in your Bibles to Psalm 13. And it's in the 13th Psalm that I want to speak to you on this subject, from tragedy to triumph. From tragedy to triumph. As we look at this 13th Psalm, the psalmist said, "How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Many of us were awakened on Thursday morning to the news that five people had been killed and that three others had been seriously injured. I remember my wife was leaving for work, and I went outside, walked her outside, and she got in her car, and I went back in my house, and I turned the TV on to the news, and the first thing that I saw was, you know, five people were shot and killed in Wilkinsburg, and then she had backed out of the driveway, and I went back out on the front stoop, and I waved at her, you know, and she drove back up and rolled the window down, and I said, "Man," I said, "five people were killed in Wilkinsburg this morning." And both of our hearts just sunk, you know, as we just meditated on that thought that, you know, here is a situation where people lost their lives. Five people at one time lost their lives. And how tragic it is, because, you know, so many times you hear about things like this happening somewhere else. But now it's right at home. It's right in our community. And five people at one time just taken from off the face of the earth. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. And in the psalm this morning, we see that the psalmist was going through a tragedy. And he learned in the midst of dealing with this tragedy some things that I fear will be very helpful to us this morning. I hope and pray that, again, as I prayed in my prayer, that you would, as a congregation, as an individual, that as you know, maybe some people who are connected with those who have passed away, or, you know, maybe people have questions, that you would take what you learned today and that you would help people from a biblical perspective to begin to think through these tragedies and how we need to deal with them. In the 13th Psalm, if you look at your notes, we see the background. The 13th Psalm is what is known as a psalm of lament. And these are writings where the psalmist goes from crying for help to describing a problem to petitioning for God's help to expressing confidence in God and finally to give a praise to God. Now, if you put up that next slide, this does not always happen in this order, but we see that in the Psalter, there are basically several psalms that are known as psalms of lament. Psalm 6, Psalm 7, Psalm 13, Psalm 17, Psalm 120, Psalm 130, and Psalm 142. And the general flow of these psalms, I know that might be a little difficult for you to see, but usually it starts off, the general pattern of these psalms of lament, that there's an invocation. And this is where the psalmist cries out for help. And we see this in verse 1, where the psalmist cries out, "How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever, how long will thou hide thy face from me?" So there's the invocation. Then there is the lament, where the psalmist describes his problem. "How long shall I take counsel in my heart, having sorrow in my soul daily, in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" So he laments his problem. That's why it's called a psalm of lament. And then we see there's a third movement in the psalms of lament, and that is a petition for help. A petition for help. He says, "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my eyes say I have prevailed, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved." So we see he calls out to God for help. And then there's a confession of trust. And this is where the psalmist expresses faith and confidence in God. Notice what he says here. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." And then it ends with a vow of praise, where the psalmist sings God's praise for answering the prayer. "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." And so this is the pattern for these psalms. Now, again, just let me point out that as you look at other psalms of lament, they don't necessarily follow that exact pattern. Some of them may contain three or four. Others may contain all five. They might not be in the same order. But generally, this is how the psalms of lament flow. And so in this particular psalm, the psalmist is lamenting because he feels that the Lord has abandoned him in light of being persecuted by the enemies. And as we consider, you know, what has taken place in our community, it was a great tragedy. And when we think about tragedies, sometimes they are unfair. Sometimes things happen that there just is no explanation for. People ask me, as a pastor, "What do you think? What do you think God was doing?" You know, like my brother said, sometimes we just deal with evil, and there's no explanation for things. But you know, I have a greater dilemma, something that I have struggled with. If you put that next slide up there, this is what I struggle with. We cannot change the tragedy. 5 people are dead. What is it, 11 kids without parents? We cannot change the tragedy. And then I go back to what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:15. He said, "That which is crooked cannot be made straight." That's crooked. 5 people are dead, right? That's crooked. That's never going to be made straight. And so we have to look at the fact, and everybody has to come to grips, even those who lost loved ones. We all have to come to the fact that can't change what happened. It's a tragedy. There are things that happen in your life that you can't change. There's some bad things that have happened to you along the way, and you cannot change them. You know, as I go back and I even think about the Holocaust, and how that millions of Jewish people, innocent Jewish people, lost their lives, were killed for nothing else other than being a Jew. How does that make straight? How do you make that straight? How do you make that right? I think about even in our own country, how a lot of black men in the South were hung. They were tried and found guilty because of some trumped up charges, being innocent, and yet and still they lost their life. How do you justify that? How do you make that straight? You know, here's a person in their teens and their 20s that their life is snuffed out. It's never going to be made straight. And you know, to me, even what's more tragic is when you think about the whole idea is that for some people who have experienced something crooked in their life that can never be made straight is if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, you know, here's one of them situations where I wish that I was God. And I really wish that I could say, you know, wow, you know, you really received a bad deal. You know, the average life of a person is 70 or 80 years. You know, you innocently lost your life in your teens or your 20s. Let me make this whole thing right for you. You know, and somewhere in my spirit, I want to believe that God kind of, if people don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, now I don't have Bible for this. You know, I can't justify this from the scripture. But I want to believe in my heart that if somebody got a raw deal here, that God is going to straighten it out somehow. But the Bible don't say that he does. The Bible don't say that it gets straightened out. And so we leave this life, and if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's like I tell people, don't read the book of Ecclesiastes with a loaded gun beside your bed. Because Solomon gives you no hope until you get to the last chapter. You know, I mean, if you read Ecclesiastes, man, you'll leave there and you'll be so depressed and so discouraged, right? Because, you know, all you'll see is, you know, there's nothing in this life to be gained. That there's absolutely nothing in this life to be gained. And so Solomon waits 12 chapters, and then he takes us to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. But I left that up, I put that up there, and I left it up there because I want us to see that sometimes we cannot change things. But this is my message today. This is my message. That we can't change the tragedy, but we can turn it into a triumph. We can turn it into a triumph. And that's what we see here in the Psalms. As we look at the Psalms, the first thing we see is what I call the sigh. And that is the agony of suffering. The agony of suffering. In these opening verses, in these two verses, we see the psalmist ask the question four times. How long? How long, O Lord? How long? How long? How long? Four times he asked the question. I did a little research on the cries of how long in the scriptures. My soul was sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Lord, how long are you going to allow my soul to stay in torment? How long, Lord, will you be angry? Forever? Psalm 79, verse 5. Psalm 94, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things? And all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2, how long, shall I cry, and thou not hear me? Even cry out unto thee out of violence, and thou not save. People experience violence. The psalmist experienced violence, cries out to God. It seems like nothing happens. Nothing. The tribulation saints say, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? How long? Maybe you're going through something right now, and you're saying, how long? Just think of the people who lost their loved ones and what they're saying. How long is this pain going to last? Yo, when is there an end to the suffering? Because I guarantee you that in the midst of what they're, many of them are going through right now, that they don't see an end to it. How in the world can you lose 5 relatives at one time and see an end? You come to a point where you don't see an end. It's just, you know, you struggle through it. It's almost like you're walking through a maze, and it just, you sometimes you get angrier, you get more bitter, you get more hurt, you don't know which way to go. And you ask how long. Notice the cry is both internal and external. There was something that was anguishing the psalmist's spirit, something that was anguishing his soul. Y'all remember when I graduated from college, and like many of you who graduated from college, had a whole bunch of student loans. And I remember, you know, beginning to pay off those student loans, and what was the first question that you had? How long? How long am I going to be paying these loans off? You know? And when you made that last payment, and you know, you got to see that money be able to go into your pocket. You know what? You know, one of the things that I struggled with, as you know, because I was in seminary and we were, you know, still having children. And I remember having to spend money on diapers. You know, and I'm thinking, man, you could be putting money on food, or you got something else. You know, you spend it on diapers. So I asked the question, how long? How long? So you know, when you're going through something, you know, you deal with this whole idea of how long. I like the way one songwriter put it. He put it like this: questions seem to haunt you night and day. How can God allow your heart to be torn this way? Does he listen when you call? Or is he even there at all? Is God really listening? You know, people that are going through this anguish, people that are going through this heartbreak, is God really listening? Is the question that we have. And you know, when we go through a time of tragedy, it's easy to get a distorted view of God. Because you see, sometimes people get angry with God, they shake their fist in God's face, and they turn away and walk away from him, never to come back again. People got angry. I know people that got angry with God. God didn't do what they wanted to see God do. They got angry with him, and they turned along, and they didn't want to ask the question anymore, how long? They just got angry and walked away. And it's easy, whatever you're going through, it's easy to have a distorted view of God. You come to church, you hear all these sermons, you hear all these lessons teached about all these attributes of God, and then you start going through something. Yeah, where are they at? Where are these attributes at now? Where is this great God that I go to church on Sunday and I praise every week? Where is he at? Where is this God who, when I'm dealing with the most difficult thing that I've ever had to walk through, where is this God at? Easy. Easy to ask those questions. And notice that the psalmist, he gets a distorted view of God. First of all, he got a distorted view of God's omniscience. And what is God's omniscience? That is the fact that God knows everything. Watch, his view of God's omniscience was distorted. Look what he says. How long will you forget me? Wait a minute. How long will God forget you? Don't you realize that God is omniscient? Don't you realize that God knows everything? When you're going through a tragedy, when you're going through a crisis, it's very easy to say, how long, Lord, will you forget me? Hey, God, hey, I'm down here. God is omniscient. He knows. It didn't take him by surprise. Don't get it distorted. When you go through these times, do not get a distorted view of God. He not only got a distorted view of God's omniscience, he got a distorted view of God's omnipresence. Notice what he says. How long will thou forget me, O Lord? How long will thou hide thy face from me? Hide your face? You mean to tell me that God, God is limited in where he's at? That he can actually hide his face and his presence not be somewhere? The face of God. The presence of God is everywhere. He had a distorted view of the omnipresence of God. And so, saints, I beg you, if I could talk to people who are going through this tragedy this week, if I could just tell them one thing, because it'd be very easy for this to happen. Do not get a distorted view of God. You know, we realize that God knew this was going to happen. And I've had people ask me the question, why didn't God stop it? I had somebody ask me yesterday, why did Job go through all the things that he went through? Why did God allow Job to suffer like that? And there was only one thing I could come up with. I mean, I could come up with a lot of theological answers. I could come up with a lot of them. But the bottom line, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. And he allows things to happen. He prevents some things from happening. And it's all for his glory. And I wish I could stand here and give answers. Again, I think my brother probably had the most logical answer. There's evil people in the world. There's wickedness in the world. And evil people do evil things. And that's why we as God's people who have the goodness of God inside of us, that we have to use everything that we have to fight against evil. At whatever level we see it at, whether it's in our home, whether it's in our communities, whether it's in our church, in our society, somebody said, all that it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of From Tragedy to Triumph. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, From Tragedy to Triumph, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request From Tragedy to Triumph. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request From Tragedy to Triumph, or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series from our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, there is a downloadable brochure on politics that can help you parallel your political views with God's Word. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information on these resources and how to order them, please visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.